I believe there is supernatural help to miscommunicate. And there is also supernatural help to communicate, not just in marriages, in all of life. There is someone egging you on to divide relationships. And my guest, Craig Hill, has uncovered what I believe to be biblical supernatural keys for supernatural relationships. Now, Craig, I find it fascinating and almost outrageous that one out of two marriages end up in divorce, and that's true among those that are Christians and non-Christians alike. It shouldn't happen with Christians.
No, that's absolutely right. You would think that we would understand something, or people that have a relationship with God would access the supernatural power of God and would learn the things that would cause their marriages not to break up. But as you said, Sid, that frequently is not true. And at many times, without that understanding and that knowledge, people live just like people who have no relationship with God, and their marriages are destroyed as well.
And the thing that's so overwhelming to me is your marriage. I mean, I know your background.
Right.
I know your wife's background. And you went through 7 years of turmoil till these keys were revealed to you. But I want to take you back to 1975. You're a nice young pilot.
Right.
And you ran into what almost cost you your life. Tell me about it.
No, that was true. I was flying for a living out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, flying the mail at night. And one night on our way back from Chicago across Lake Michigan back to Grand Rapids, the air traffic control called us and said, it's getting really foggy in Michigan. We suggest you turn back to Chicago. Well, being young and sort of arrogant, you know, the other pilot and I decided not to, and we decided, no, we can beat the fog in. And make a long story short, we made two instrument approaches at Grand Rapids, and it was too foggy for us to land. We saw no runway, no lights, nothing. So we went to Lansing, shot two approaches there, and missed them both again, no visibility there. And you know, the thing that happened is the low fuel little red lights came on in Grand Rapids, and I knew we were in trouble.
Now when you're driving a car and that happens, that's bad. But well, you're up in the air. Oy vey.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So after Lansing, you know, we had used up a huge amount of fuel trying to make these instrument approaches. We were really low. We said, what else is open? They said Detroit. So we blasted over to Detroit, and we were the second to the last airplane to land with just minutes of fuel left. And so that was sort of a harrowing experience. I was praying all the way, you know, oh, God, save my life.
But with just minutes of fuel, it could have gone the other way.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, we could have ended up not making it and then ended up running out of fuel.
But briefly explain what was going on in the invisible world.
In the invisible world, what I found out about 6 or 7 months later, Sid, was really an amazing thing. I met a young woman in Europe who had been at a mission school in Germany at the same time that this event was taking place. Every morning, their habit was to get up and in a small group pray, not just their shopping list of things they wanted to pray, but they would ask God, what is on your heart today, Father? And then they would pray those various things. One day, the group, they had a list every day of things that they felt like the Spirit of God was giving them. And one day, one thing on the list was airplane. They didn't know what to pray for exactly, so they began asking, and the group of them together got pieces like a puzzle. And one person said, well, I believe this airplane we're to pray for is fast, like United, but it's small. Someone else said, I see two people on board, and that's all, just a crew, and one is older, one is young, they're wearing light blue jumpsuits or flight suits, and they're carrying the U.S. mail. Somebody else said, I see a map like the Great Lakes area of the United States, and these people were in Germany when they were praying, and they said, the problem is this airplane's having difficulty finding a place to land. We need to pray for the safety of the crew and a place to land. So they had all these details. Well, about in July of that year, I met this young woman on this team, and I began to recognize that God was doing something between us and that she might end up being my wife. So as time progressed, I was telling her all the harrowing stories and experiences of my life. I began to tell her this one. And as I shared these details, she said, we prayed for you. I said, what do you mean you prayed for me? And she said, were you both wearing light blue one-piece flight suits? I said, yeah. She said, was the other pilot quite a bit older than you? I said, yeah. She said, we prayed for you. And she told me what was happening is that at the very time that we were having the problem about 4 a.m. in Michigan, they were at 9 a.m. over in Germany praying these prayers and releasing something in the supernatural. I believe, Sid, had my wife not prayed with that small group, we well could have died.
And of course, at that time, she wasn't his wife, but she had a prophetic word at that time. What did someone tell her about?
There was another young woman in the group that came up to her after this prayer time and said to her, Jan, you know that airplane we prayed for this morning? I believe that has something to do with you. Maybe a relative or somebody you know. And Jan was thinking, I don't know anybody who flies. I don't know who. Well, I have a cousin, you know, who's on an aircraft carrier.
Of course it had something to do with her because they ended up getting married. She described exactly at the exact time she was praying for the man that would be her husband. You would think they would have a marriage made in heaven, but they had 7 years of the type of turmoil that many of you have had, and it's about time that you have supernatural help to have a marriage made in heaven and relationships that are pleasing to God. You see, the Messiah said, this is my commandment, that you love one another, and there is someone to try to disrupt that so you can't accomplish your destiny. Don't go away. You're going to find out some tremendous supernatural keys to supernatural relationships. Be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Craig Hill. What a title, Craig. Two fleas and no dog transform your marriage from fleedom to freedom. What are you talking about?
Well, for years I threatened to write a book by that title, Sid, and the reason is I found so many people before they get married are like a flea. And a flea is an animal that's looking for a host animal like a dog it can light off of and just get all its needs met emotionally, physically, in all kinds of ways. And I found that many, many people when they get married did not realize that when they married they actually were a flea, because after they get married they're thinking, where's the dog? Where's that person that was so kind to me, so nice to me, that I liked being with so much? And after they get married, what happens is they find out the other person, the person they married, actually, they thought you were the dog. They thought you were the one that they were going to be drawing all the life from. And what's actually happened is the people that have gotten married, and this is true in many cases, we now have two fleas and no dog, both trying to suck the life out of each other. And of course, no fleas have any life.
And for 7 years, that's what happened in your life.
It really did happen in my marriage. I didn't realize I was a flea, Sid, when I got married. You know what my experience of marriage was in the first 7 years? I felt like Jan, my wife, was frequently unhappy with me. She was irritated with me. She was angry with me. And I felt like I was just displeasing to her in so many ways. And I tried everything I knew to do to please her unsuccessfully. Couldn't understand why.
But then you understood supernatural communication, and you found there are two levels of communication.
That was a breakthrough, huge breakthrough in our marriage when I discovered that there's sort of a superficial level I've come to call the topical level of communication. And underneath all topical communication is what I call relational communication. Now, topical are issues that we discuss in marriage. For example, where are we going to live? What cars are we going to drive? How are we going to discipline our children, our sexual relationship? This is topical communication. But underneath all of that is relational communication, which are messages we send to one another in the realm of identity regarding value. Meaning, without realizing it, we're sending messages to other people all the time, you're worthless or you're valuable. And what I find happens in a marriage is, without realizing it, husbands and wives are sending a message back and forth to each other, you're valuable or you're worthless, and they don't realize it. They don't know it.
Let's take a look at this right now, a real life situation. Let's go to that state fair right now.
Guess the number winner prize. Guess the number winner prize.
Where will it stop?
Hey, girls, you want to play a game?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello.
Hey, honey. How are you doing? I was just checking in.
Doing great.
Emily, keep an eye on your sister.
Hey,
Where are you?
The girls talked me into coming to the state fair.
What?
The state fair.
I heard you.
Why would you do that?
The girls were begging me. It was nice out, so we came.
I wish you would just stick to a plan.
What plan?
We've been going to the state fair as a family for over 4 years, and, you know, you just would have thought that...
Maybe you could have included me in on it.
Well, how could we? You're not even here. I mean, you're away at your retreat.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means I'm here watching the kids and you're off with your girlfriends.
My girlfriends? You volunteered to do this.
Yeah, so you could go away on your whatever weekend.
Tom, why the state fair?
I mean, when I'm out of town for the weekend, you would think for once you could think about somebody
other than yourself.
Look, I didn't even want to come.
Oh, yeah, right.
I wanted to stay home and watch the football game with the guys, but I'm here.
I was just thinking of the girls.
Yeah, right, but you weren't thinking of me, were you?
I would have thought you'd be happy I wanted to spend more time with them. Instead, you're
criticizing me, just like you always do.
I do not always criticize you.
Come on, Daddy, let's go to the Ferris wheel.
Tom?
I gotta go.
Tom?
Hey, Sue, are you coming?
Yeah, I'm coming.
Come on, girls.
That is supernatural miscommunication. Let's see what's going to happen if it's done right.
The number one winner prize, yes, the number one prize.
Hello?
Hey, honey, how are you doing? I was just checking in.
Doing great.
Emily, keep an eye on your sister.
Hey, where are you?
The girls talked me into coming to the state fair.
What?
The state fair.
I heard you.
Why would you do that?
The girls were begging me. It was nice out, so we came.
I wish you would
just stick to a plan.
Are you upset?
Yeah, I'm upset.
I mean, we've been going to the state fair as a family for over 4 years, and you just...
think you could have thought of me.
Sorry, honey. I didn't realize how much it meant to you.
Well, it's just that you... pick the weekend I was away.
You're absolutely right. I'm
really sorry. Wasn't that I wasn't thinking about you. I love you. You know I enjoy doing things with you and the family, right?
Yeah, I know. I guess I just, you're there with the girls and I just felt like you didn't want me there.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. We had so much fun last year, I knew it would be a hit. Truth is,
it's just not as much fun without you here.
Yeah, we did have a lot of fun. I just wish I was there with you and the girls.
Me too.
Hey, listen. I heard that this new
ice skating Ice Princess show is coming into town.
Really?
Yeah, why don't we all go as a family?
Tom.
Yeah?
You really are a great dad.
Come on, Daddy. Let's go to the Ferris wheel.
Okay.
Yeah, come on.
I gotta go.
I love you.
I love you too, honey. Bye.
Okay, girls, let's go.
Yeah!
Hey, Sue, are you coming?
Oh, yeah. I'll be right there.
Now, I like that. I like happy endings. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But my guest, Craig Hill, says when you're involved in these type of relationship, it was relation, not topical, there was even a better way to handle it.
Yeah, you know, what I found, Sid, is that everybody wants to be made to feel valuable. Husband wants to be valuable, wife wants to be valuable. Here's the problem. The problem is, I don't know and didn't know for 7 years what would make my wife feel valuable. She didn't know what would make me feel valuable, so we did the wrong thing and stumbled into situations like that all the time. This poor man's just trying to take his girls to the state fair and yet finds his wife accusing him. Why? He sent her a message, you have no value, and didn't know he sent her that message. Now, I believe there is something supernatural behind that that promotes that kind of thing where people don't realize it. And then she sent him back a message, you're worthless, you have no value, and she didn't know she was doing that. And so what does make a woman feel valuable? Those are the supernatural keys that I found that I wrote in the book. What makes a woman feel valuable? What makes a man feel valuable? And is it possible for us to convey those things on a relational level, which changes everything?
And the thing that I saw in that is that if that ending hadn't changed, that couple was headed towards divorce. Don't go away. We're about ready to see some keys to supernatural communication. Be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Craig Hill. Most people are being set up for disaster in their relationships. There is supernatural help to destroy, whether it's a husband and wife, whether it's a mother and a daughter, or a father and a son, whatever that, or just at work. There's supernatural help to destroy relationships. Craig, you saw a movie on the American Revolution, which literally gave you insight into right. what's going on in these relationships.
Right. What I began to see, Sid, like we were saying earlier, after 7 years of marriage where I was struggling, didn't know what to do, and I saw a movie and I began to get an insight. And what it was, it depicted the British, you know, marching up the mm-hmm. road to Concord and Lexington, and here came the American militia out to meet them. And I saw two rows of soldiers, you know, standing facing each other with their weapons loaded, and the two generals talking in between. Unbeknownst to anybody, hiding over here in the bushes behind a little wall was an arms dealer. And this man didn't care about the British. He didn't care about the Americans. He just wanted to start a war so he could sell arms to both sides. So while no one was looking, he shot and killed the second-in-command British officer, who fell over dead. And immediately, the British general, of course, assumed the American colonists had done that, terminated negotiations, and issued the command to his men, fire, which they did. The American general then, of course, issued a command to his men, return fire, which they did, and the war was on. We called that the shot heard round the world because it was the shot sure. that started the revolution. Now, I don't know if the movie was historically accurate, but the part I got out of it is when I saw that, God spoke to me and said, that is exactly what's happening in your marriage all the time. A war is being started and neither of you are starting it. And I discovered, as I've talked to many couples through the years, if I ask a husband, for example, in the clip we saw in the very beginning, was it your right. intention to start this war? He would say, absolutely not. I don't like it. It's very unpleasant. You say to the wife, was it your intention to start this war? Absolutely not. I didn't plan it. And what people are not realizing is there really are demonic forces in the unseen realm that are working to destroy relationships through miscommunication. And the strategy is simply this. What if there is an arms dealer, so to speak, mm-hmm. in the supernatural realm that I can't see, who uses me to speak to my wife a relational message that says, you're worthless, I don't love you, you mean nothing to me, and I'm blind to it. I don't see it. I don't know it. How can I repent? Repent of what? I've done nothing wrong from my perspective.
So, and you're saying this arms dealer in this movie is a type of the devil.
Exactly. Is a type of the devil and demonic forces in the unseen realm whose purpose is to destroy relationships. You know, an interesting thing, Sid, no man, no woman individually look like God. But the Bible says a relationship between a man and woman in marriage looks like God, and the devil hates anything that looks like God, and I think works overtime to destroy marriage through this strategy of miscommunication.
Okay, what are husbands looking for in a marital relationship?
Well, this was the key I discovered. Husbands want respect. The problem is a wife doesn't know what respect means. So I discovered respect to most husbands means three things. I want to be accepted, I want to be admired, and I want to be appreciated. What I found is so many husbands are working hard, especially in our present times in this environment, to try to make ends meet, and they're looking for one word from a wife, thank you. That's what we saw in the fireproof clip. And what happens, a wife doesn't know that. She doesn't realize that because what she's looking for is sort of an opposite thing. What makes a wife feel valuable is love, the Bible tells us. And the problem we have as husbands, we don't know what love means in our wife's mind, in her idea. So I found love to a woman means these three things. She wants to feel high priority. She wants me to care about her feelings And when I hurt her, she wants me to acknowledge it, take responsibility for it, and repent and ask for
forgiveness. Tell me about that couple from Wisconsin very briefly that studied these principles and what happened to them.
There was a couple that I ran into that had actually been divorced for some years, living in separate cities, who came to a conference we were doing, a covenant marriage retreat, actually, and I don't even know how they got there. Somebody convinced them to come. They came in separate cars from separate locations, sat literally in separate places in the meeting, not even with each other, and over the course of about 3 days, as they discovered these principles and as God began to work supernaturally in their hearts, they were restored in such a way that they learned how to convey love and respect or value to each other, so much so that they fell in love with each other again and said, we don't want to be divorced or separated, we want to be remarried, and they were remarried to each other.
Is there any problem between a husband and wife that know the Lord that cannot be solved by these supernatural principles?
There really is not. What we found...
Hey, did you hear that? There really is not.
It's true.
So don't give up. And young people, if they can get a hold of these principles, it's time to have supernatural relationships with a supernatural God, Jesus.